around. But we're going to lock all of it up. Get the local view. It's a Tuesday. He's the columnist for the Register Guard. Catches work in the sports section. Likes today's piece about the Blazers. Online, it's registerguard.com. For the Oregon-centric, try ducksports.com on Twitter. It's at Austin Meek, RG. Austin, a good Tuesday to you. How are things?
Hey, Steve, I'm good. I was just listening to your intro and thinking about what I was doing in the year 2000. I would have been a sophomore in high school. So I can confirm that it's been a long time since the Blazers were in the Western Conference final.
Yeah, I wasn't even 40. Now I'm a year and a half away from 60 with two grandkids. So now I need a nap. I hope you're happy, Austin. You know, talking about what you just said, I was watching the MLB Network the other day, and the guys who were on weren't former players, and they started talking about, you know, when they were in high school, what got them crazy enough to try and pursue this as a line of work. And I know you being from Kansas, we've talked about you being a Chiefs fan, a Royals fan, the college teams. But going back to then, when you were, you know, middle school, high school, how big were you on the NBA? Like, where did the NBA rank or fit into your kind of life as a sports fan?
Well, you know, I didn't necessarily have an NBA team that was my team, which is probably why I've never been as big an NBA fan as I am of some other sports. But I certainly remember sitting in the basement watching on our, you know, our little TV, Michael Jordan, you know, I tell you what, when CJ McCollum hit that shot against the Nuggets in Game 7, that kind of pull-up foul line jumper,
yep,
I had a flashback to being a kid sitting in my basement watching Michael Jordan hit basically that same shot against the Jazz. So that's like my NBA frame of reference right there, is that era. Being a kid, watching it on TV, you know, I didn't have a team that I rooted for, but I definitely did watch the NBA.
You know, it's funny you said that because after that game ended, I went on Twitter and I posted a picture side by side of Jordan posterizing Byron Russell, and CJ was against Torrey Craig. The thing I thought, which triggered my memory, is they both wore number 3. So I kind of on the same wavelength then. So
that's crazy.
No, it really was. It triggered a lot of memories because it was accurate. He created the separation and made a money shot. So I ran a poll yesterday that if the day after Portland lost their big guy, Jusuf Nurkić, somebody came up to you and said, I don't know what the big deal is, they're still going to make the West Finals, and here are the options, so pick one. Would you have thought that person is nuts, spot on, or the biggest homer in all of sports?
Probably somewhere in the middle. Like, it wasn't... If you thought the Blazers were going to make the Western Conference Finals, like, the day after Nurkić got hurt, then, yeah, you were probably drinking the Kool-Aid. But, I'll say, as things went on, you know, after being at that first playoff game at the Moda Center, I think that's when I kind of started to believe that this was possible. You know, there just was a different feel to it than there had been in years past when I was there. So immediately in the aftermath of the Nurkić injury, no, I don't think anybody was thinking that this was coming. But I think, you know, the more space you got after that happened, and the more you saw the team kind of rally together, the more you felt like there was the potential for something like this to happen. Not that a lot of people were predicting it, but you could just see some signs that maybe it was possible.
Yeah, and when we saw how good Cantor was.
Today's
article, we wear out newness quickly. The Warriors were like an afterthought for 4 decades. Then you got Steph, his cute daughter, Steve Kerr, Draymond Clay. It seemed like they were easy to root for. Then they got KD and were a super team. And you get a sense people are like, all right, enough. So you get a sense beyond here in our state that at this point, most neutral fans would be pulling for Portland.
I do think so. That's the feel I get, is that most fans, maybe not most, but a lot of fans are sort of the same mind that I am, that they're starting to get a little bit tired of the Warriors. You know, it's kind of like an iPhone. You get one, and it's brand new for the first year, and then a year later, it's starting to get a little bit outdated, and then, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road, it's like, okay, I need a new phone. It's kind of like that with the Warriors. Like, I feel like they've sort of been through this whole cycle now, and we're ready for something new. Yeah, I don't hate the Warriors. I don't know a lot of people who hate them.
Right.
But I think, especially after the Durant signing, you know, it was kind of like, okay, like, you know, they've had their run. It's time for somebody else to get a shot, and you know, the Blazers would be the perfect team. I mean, it's hard to think of a better example of a team just sort of coming out of nowhere that nobody expected to be here. You know, they're fresh, they're easy to like. I do think a lot of people around the country are going to be pulling for the Blazers in this series.
Talking NBA hoops with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. You know, you think of magical moments in the playoffs. We talked about Jordan, you know, whether it's Bird, Magic, you know, even Kawhi Leonard's silly four-bound series ender. I mean, he's the best player on the floor. But with in Game 7 for the Blazers, with Lillard shooting in the trash, you know, C.J. McCollum, the only player ever from a school like Lehigh, I mean, how legendary a performance in a Game 7 for a guy like that was that?
Yeah, so when I was at Game 6, writing my column from Game 6, sort of my hypothesis there was Rodney Hood and Zach Collins came up so huge for the Blazers in Game 6. You know, the Blazers bench was the difference in that game, which was certainly the storyline of Game 6, but my thought was, you know, that's great that the Blazers bench showed up in Game 6, but Game 7 is going to be about the stars. And at that time, I'm thinking Game 7 is going to be about Damian Lillard. Well, it wasn't. It was about C.J. McCollum, and I think the takeaway is C.J. McCollum is a star now. You know, he has elevated himself to being one of the best shooting guards in the NBA, and you have a game like that in that stage, you're nobody's sidekick anymore. You're a bona fide star, and I think C.J. McCollum now is absolutely in that category.
No, I thought that was, you know, it goes national and kind of along those lines. Blazer fans in recent years have maybe been a little frustrated with how Lillard is perceived. He's had some all-star snubs. I know in hardcore NBA circles, he's really well-known, but knowing kind of how special of a player he is, how well he represents the franchise, I mean, how cool is it that finally he doesn't even have just a big national stage now, but it's the NBA. It's kind of an international stage.
Yeah, did you see that video clip of him walking off the court after the game? They followed him down the tunnel. You could see the expression on his face. That was so stinking cool. Like, that's a guy who's worked his whole life to be in this position, and you know, at every level has been told, you know, he's not good enough, he's not big enough, whatever, and you could just see that moment sinking in for him that he's there. He's in the Western Conference Finals. It's just, you know, you feel good for him because he's stuck with Portland, you know, at a time when a lot of guys in his position would have said, I'm going to go chase a ring. You know, I'm going to try to get out of Portland. I'm going to go to a bigger market. I'm going to try to team up you know, with some other all-star caliber players and try to go get a ring. But Damian Lillard, you know, has said that Portland is the place he wants to be. He wants to get a ring with this organization. And, you know, there's a lot of skepticism about that, of whether they, in a market like Portland, if you can put together the pieces to win an NBA championship, and I still think that's very much an open question, but they've proved that they can get real close, and they've got a shot to go do it this year.
So if we add it up, we know Golden State beat Houston, in essence, the last 5.5 quarters, 2 games without Durant. We don't know his availability. Cantor has a separated shoulder. Rodney Hood, his status for tonight, I don't think he's going to play. We know as home court edge. And by the way, Golden State is a really big favorite. They're like 7-1. What's the Austin Meek predictor telling you about this series?
I got the Warriors in 7. I think it's going to be a really competitive series. I think the Blazers will give Golden State absolutely everything they can handle. You look at the Warriors, pretty much all of their stars have some type of injury they're dealing with. You know, Steph's got his finger. Klay Thompson had an ankle. Durant with the calf. DeMarcus Cousins is out. I don't know that that's going to decide the series, but this Warriors team just feels, and I wrote this today, it just feels like they're kind of walking on the edge more than any other Warriors team, you know, of this era. And you look back at the history, no previous Warriors team needed six games to get through both of their first and second round series. Four losses is the most that the Warriors have had in the playoffs getting to this point. So, you know, they've been pushed in ways that the previous Golden State teams haven't been pushed. And I think the Blazers are the best team that they will have faced so far in the playoffs and are going to push them harder than either of the teams that they faced in the first and second round.
Well, Alphonso McKinney is healthy, so they've got that going for him.
Who?
He's like their 13th guy. Sunday, you covered Civil War baseball here in town. You know, the Ducks had a nice start to the season. Even a month ago, they were just over 500 in league, considered tournament worthy. And then, I don't know what else to call them. Stanford and Arizona were just massacres. Then last week against Oregon State. So you're saying half of PK Park was dressed in beaver colors. What do you make of that kind of scene? And how concerning should it be for those, you know, really close to the program?
Well, we've kind of heard this story before, haven't we? An Oregon baseball team that starts out okay and is in the conversation to make the postseason, and then coming down the stretch, the wheels just kind of fall off. So that's what they're fighting against now, is to try to make sure that history doesn't repeat itself. It was an interesting scene at PK Park this weekend, for sure, because, like you mentioned, you know, the crowd, I thought it was pretty much a 50-50 split. There was a ton of orange in the stands. Hey, there's a ton of green, too, and I think if you're looking for a positive out of that, the stadium was full, and the weather was great, and it was the kind of scene that I think Oregon was hoping for when they built that stadium, except for all the Beaver fans there. And, you know, the challenge for Oregon is, can you have that atmosphere for a series that doesn't involve the Beavers? They got a really nice win on Sunday,
right,
to end that series with some momentum. If they'd gotten swept there, I think you could have just kind of stuck a fork in the season. But at least they got one game out of it, so there's something left to play for as they go down the stretch here.
Couple final thoughts for Austin Meek of the Register Guard. So you were invited to the Springfield Library to answer a few questions. So be honest with us. Did anybody stand up and say, do you voluntarily appear with that annoying Yankees fan once a week, or do your bosses force you?
You know, I didn't get that question, but there was somebody who listens to the show among the handful of people who turned out for that Q&A. So I guess I got to give you some credit for expanding my platform a little bit, I guess, because there was at least one loyal listener of Steve Cannon who showed up for that thing.
And they were well paid to be there, believe me.
You're saying it was a plant? Is that what it was?
Absolutely. I wasn't getting skunked out of this deal. You know, right now, though, for sports in our area, because softball and baseball are not really generating any kind of a buzz, track and field is always, you know, front and center. The Blazers are obviously huge. So of the folks you talked with, I'm kind of curious, what is on the tips of their tongues of the sports fans that you chatted with?
You know what? We had some maybe a surprising amount of Blazers talk there, and I always sort of wrestle internally with knowing how much of an impact the Blazers make in Eugene. I feel like in the past, when I've talked or written about the Blazers, it's been kind of lukewarm. But it feels a little bit different this year. It feels like this run has really kind of awakened something with Blazers fans in Eugene. You know, there's a couple there that had moved down from Portland and were saying, you know, we're not really big college sports fans. We don't really get into the Ducks or the Beavers, but we love the Blazers. And that's not a sentiment that you hear a lot in Eugene. Most of the people I talk to are the other way, where it's like Ducks and Beavers first, and then maybe the Blazers. But I tell you what, if you're a Blazers fan in Eugene right now, you're wearing your jersey, you know, you're talking up the Blazers, You're watching every game. This is a great time to be a Blazers fan in Eugene. College-wise, there's not a lot going on, so I really feel like the Blazers have kind of captured the imagination of this community right now.
No, absolutely. I see the colors all over the place. Folks, he's Austin Meek of the Register Guard. You have many options. Pick up a copy of the paper, registerguard.com. For Duck fans, DuckSports.com. On Twitter, follow along at AustinMeekRG. Austin, great stuff as always. Always appreciate your time, and enjoy the rest of your week.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy.